أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. 14 ذات الرقاع occurred in Jumada al-Ula, 4th of Hijra. It was named ذات الرقاع, which means the battle of the rags. Why was it called that? Why was it given that name? Because the shoes of the Muslims were tearing apart and their feet were bleeding, so they ended up wrapping pieces of their clothes over their feet. Rasulullah ﷺ attacked the land of Najd, but no fighting occurred. 15. The minor battle of Badr. It happened in Sha'ban, year 4. Rasulullah ﷺ went to Badr to meet Abu Sufyan and Quraysh at an appointed time. He went with 1500 fighters. Abu Sufyan made it halfway, but then decided to go back to Mecca. Number 16, Dawmat al-Jandal. Dawmat al-Jandal is at the extreme southern tip of Asham. Dawmat al-Jandal is the borders between the Arabian Peninsula and Asham. It is a town surrounded by an impregnable wall. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam attacked it when he heard that the non-believers are gathering an army to invade Medina. So Rasulullah would not wait for an enemy to come to him. He would go out and meet them. He heard that they're mobilizing an army, he went out all the way to Asham. He marched towards them in an army of 1,000. He would move at night and hide during the day. When the enemy heard of his move, they feared him and ended up dispersing. So when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam arrived in their territory, none of them came out to fight. He attacked their shepherds and confiscated some of their cattle and sent out detachments to different areas and then returned. Number 17, Al-Khandaq, the Battle of the Trench. Occurred in Shawwal, 5th of Hijrah. Quraysh came headed by Abu Sufyan. Banu Fazara were headed by Uyayna bin Hasan. Banu Murra headed by Al-Harith bin Auf. In addition to Ghatafan and Ashja', and they all converged on Medina in an army of 5,000. Allah alam, this number is an underestimate. Should be more than 5,000. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam received news of the armies, he consulted with the Sahaba, and that is when Salman al-Farsi suggested digging the trench, which was a novel idea to Arab warfare. The trench was completed in little over 10 days. The Muslims were 3,000. So this was a coalition that attacked Medina. It was made up of Quraysh, Ghatafan, Ashja', and some other tribes, alongside Al-Munafiqun from within Medina, and later on Banu Qurayza. Rasulullah ﷺ heard the news of this advance, and the army was large, the army of the Kuffar. So Salman al-Farsi suggested this idea. He said, this is something that we do in Persia. So this was an imported idea. This was an idea that was not known to the Arabs. So Salman al-Farsi said, let's dig a trench. The trench was dug north of Medina, even though Mecca is towards the south. Why was it to the north of Medina? Because Medina had natural defenses from the three other sides. From the east and the west, it was defended by a volcanic rocky track, very sharp rocks. It's very difficult for an army to march through. And then you have the palm groves towards the south, which also makes it very difficult for a large army. So the trench was dug towards the north of Medina. An interesting event occurred. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum came across this boulder that refused to move out of their way. They tried to break it, but it would end up breaking their axes. So they went to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they complained to him. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went there, he asked for an axe, they gave it to him, he said, Allahu Akbar. And he struck the boulder and it cracked and the spark of light came out of it. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made takbir. And then he did it again, it cracked a second time and light came out. The third time he hit it, it just broke into pieces and Rasulullah made takbir. The Sahaba radiallahu anhu said, why did you make takbir? Rasulullah ﷺ said, because the first time I saw the palaces of Syria And Allah told me that my ummah will enter the land of the Romans. And I made takbir the second time because Allah showed me the white palaces of Mada'in, the capital of Persia. And Allah told me that my nation will enter the land of Persia. And the third time I said Allahu Akbar because Allah showed me the gates of Sana'a in Yemen and told me that my nation will enter into Yemen. When was Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam giving this promise? You notice that the greatest promises to this ummah were delivered to the ummah when the ummah was at its lowest point. Because these promises were a test of faith. Al-Munafiqun, they were laughing so much and mocking at this. They said, أَحَدُنَا لَا يَأْمَنْ أَنْ يَخْرُجْ لِقَضَاءِ حَاجَتَهِ. One of us doesn't even feel secure to respond to the call of nature. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us that we're going to open Persia and the Roman Empire and Yemen. What is he talking about? But the believers said, هَذَا مَا وَعَدَنَا اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. The believers say, this is what Allah and His Messenger promised us. It's going to happen. When did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, another promise that was given by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another incident to show you when the promises are given. When Rasulullah and Abu Bakr are running away from Mecca, they're on the run. And Quraysh are pursuing them. And they place a bounty on the head of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 100 camels. Suraqah bin Malik al-Ashja'i, one of the Bedouins, he was sitting among his people. He's not from Mecca, but the news is going around that there's a ransom on Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, dead or alive. So somebody came in to their gathering and said, I've seen two men walking in the desert. They might be Muhammad and his companion. Suraqah said, no, it's not them. I was there and I saw them. But then Suraqah sneaked out of that meeting. He went to his house, called his horse, and ran out in pursuit of the two men. Because he thought these might be Muhammad and Abu Bakr. He wanted the 100 camels. So he's pursuing them. Abu Bakr is looking behind him. And Rasulullah ﷺ is reciting Quran. He's not even looking behind him. And Abu Bakr is very worried. He's staring behind. Rasulullah ﷺ is walking confidently without looking back. And then Suraqah, when he gets close, the front feet of his horse sink in the sand and he falls. He said, my horse never did this. He jumps on his horse again and pursues Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It happens a second time. And then the third time it happened, he saw a wall of dust in front of him. So he started asking Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to give him peace. He's out to capture Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he's now asking Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to give him peace. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I will give you aman. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, O Suraqah, what about a day when you will be wearing the bracelets of Kisra? Now there's only one Kisra in the world, so it's very well known who that Kisra is. But it is such a strange thing to say that Suraqah had to make sure that he heard it right. He said, Kisra. Rasulullah ﷺ said, yes, Kisra ibn Hormuz. Kisra the son of Hormuz, to make it clear. Obviously, Suraqah didn't understand what that meant. I mean, how would I wear the bracelets of Kisra? Now, these bracelets apparently were very famous. It's like it was something that everybody knew, special bracelets of Kisra. Suraqah, somehow he told Muhammad ﷺ to write. Rasulullah gave him aman, gave him peace. But Suraqah said, I want it on paper. Allah alam, how come he would ask such a thing? He said, write it for me on paper. So Rasulullah told Abu Bakr, write that down for him. So Abu Bakr wrote down on this sheet of paper that Rasulullah is giving Suraqah bin Malik peace. When the land of Suraqah was opened and they were going to kill Suraqah bin Malik, so it's years later, Suraqah bin Malik pulls out that paper and says, Muhammad has given me peace. And that saves his life. He then becomes Muslim. Rasulullah ﷺ passes away. Abu Bakr passes away. Umar becomes Khalifa. And Suraqah joins the army that's going to Persia. and they conquer Persia. And the treasures of Kisra are brought back to Medina. And among the treasure, they found the bracelets of Kisra. Umar ibn al-Khattab called Suraqah to stand up on the pulpit and to wear the bracelets of Kisra and to tell the Muslims the story about it. Suraqah, this simple Bedouin, is wearing the bracelets of Kisra ibn Hormuz. But that's a promise that was made by Rasulullah ﷺ when he was on the run. Takes a lot of faith to believe in something like that. So now when the Ummah is at its low point, and hopefully we have reached the rock bottom, inshallah there's nothing lower than this, so that we can only go up from there. Allah Azza wa Jalla has promised this Ummah. Number one, تَكُونُ فِيكُمْ النُّبُوَّةَ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ أَن تَكُونَ ثُمَّ يَنْزَعُهَا اللَّهُ إِذَا شَاءَ أَن يَنْزَعَهَا ثُمَّ تَكُونُ خِلَافَةً رَاشِدَةً فَتَكُونُ فِيكُمْ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ أَن تَكُونَ ثُمَّ يَنْزَعُهَا اللَّهُ إِذَا شَاءَ أَن يَنْزَعَهَا ثُمَّ تَكُونُ مُلْكًا عَاضًّا فَتَكُونُ فِيكُمْ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ أَن تَكُونَ ثُمَّ يَنْزَعُهَا اللَّهُ إِذَا شَاءَ أَن يَنْزَعَهَا ثُمَّ تَكُونُ مُلْكًا جَبْرِيًّا فَيَكُونُ فِيكُمْ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ أَن يَكُونَ ثُمَّ يَنْزَعُهَا اللَّهُ إِذَا شَاءَ أَن يَنْزَعَهَا ثم تكون خلافة على منهاج النبوة. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم says it will first start with prophethood and will stay for as long as Allah wants, and then Allah will take it away, and then it will be خلافة راشدة, guided, rightly guided, and it will stay among you as long as Allah wants it to stay, and then Allah will take it away, and then it will be a kingdom and it will stay with you as long as Allah wants it to stay, and then Allah will take it away. And then it will be dictatorship, tyranny. And it will remain with you as long as Allah wants it to remain, and then Allah will take it away. And then it will be khilafah, on the path of prophethood. Right now we're going through that tyrannical dictatorship stage. And there is only khilafah after it. That's the next stage. It is khilafah. Number two, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ زَوَالِيَ الْأَرْضِ فَرَأَيْتُ أَنَّ مُلْكَ أُمَّتِي سَيَبْلُغُ مَا زُوِيَ لِي مِنْهَا. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Allah has shrinked the earth in front of my eyes and showed it to me. And He told me that the kingdom of my nation will reach all of it, the entire earth. Number three, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, سَيَبْلُغُ هَذَا الدِّينَ مَا بَلَغَ اللَّيْلُ وَالنَّهَارُ بِعِزِّ عَزِيزٍ أَوْ بِذُلِّ ذَلِيلٍ عِزًّا يُعِزُّ اللَّهُ بِهِ الْإِسْلَامُ وَذُلًّا يُذِلُّ اللَّهُ بِهِ الشِّرْكُ. This religion will reach wherever night and day reaches. Every corner of the earth where night and day reaches, this religion will reach. And it will honor some and it will humiliate some. It will honor the believers and it will dishonor the disbelievers. It's going to happen. The coalition army laid siege to Medina for over 20 days. During that time, Nu'aym ibn Mas'ud, a prominent member of the coalition, came to the Messenger of Allah to announce Islam. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَمَا يَعْلَمُ جُنُودَ رَبِّكَ إِلَّهُ. Only Allah knows His soldiers. Allah Azza wa Jalla has soldiers in unexpected quarters. Who would have imagined that in the capital of evil in the world, in the palace of Fir'aun, the center of the plotting of evil, that's where Shaitan would spend most of his time, because that's where his most loyal soldier is, the palace of Fir'aun. Nevertheless, Allah Azza wa Jal has a soldier inside the palace of Fir'aun. So when Musa alayhi salam is picked up by these soldiers and they take him, فَالْتَقَطَهُ آلِ فِرْعَوْنَ, Allah Azza wa Jal says, he was picked up by the people of Fir'aun, and Allah says, لِيَكُونَ لَهُمْ عَدُوًا وَحَزَنًا, so that he would be the demise for them. As soon as he got into the palace, the soldier of Allah came to him, the wife of Fir'aun, and she fell in love with Musa as soon as she saw him. And she said, قُرَّةُ عَيْنٍ لِي وَلَكْ, I want him to be قُرَّةُ عَيْنٍ, please my eye, and yours. Fir'aun said, I don't want him, but if you want to have him, take him. A soldier of Allah inside the palace of Fir'aun, to nurture and upbring Musa alayhi salam. The wind is a soldier of Allah. the thunders are a soldier of Allah. Water, which is the cause of life. وَجَعَلْنَا مِنَ الْمَاءِ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ حَيٍّ. We have made out of water every living being. Water was a soldier of Allah that destroyed Fir'aun. A mosquito can be a soldier of Allah, destroyed Nimrud. So you don't know where the soldier of Allah is. Don't count just on what you have, because Allah Azza wa Jal has soldiers around you. And if you have the taqwa of Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah will send these soldiers to you. You never know what they are. Subhanallah, the believers would be in very tight situations, and Allah opens up a door for them they have never expected before. Nu'aym ibn Mas'ud comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is a man who came out with the coalition to fight against the Muslims. When he gets there, Allah puts in his heart the love of Islam. It seems to be the wrong timing. But Allah Azza wa Jalla is the one who controls the hearts. When you're out there to fight against the Muslims and then you want to become Muslim, how come you didn't become Muslim before? But this is the qadr of Allah Azza wa Jalla. إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ. Allah Azza wa Jalla is the one who guides. So he comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and says, I want to become Muslim. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam took the pledge of allegiance from him. And then Na'im ibn Sa'ud wants to sign up and enlist in the Muslim army. Rasulullah ﷺ said, إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ رَجُلٌ وَاحِدٌ. You are one man. With us, you are just an additional soldier. وَلَكِنْ خَذِّلْ عَنَّا مَا اسْتَطَعْتُ. But go back to them and weaken them from within. Weaken them from within. خَذِّلْ عَنَّا مَا اسْتَطَعْتُ. So Nu'aym bin Mas'ud goes back. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this is an important quality of leadership. You put the right person in the right place. You know what your soldiers are able to do. You know their skills. You study their profile very well. So you know where to put them. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Nu'aym bin Mas'ud, with us you're just one soldier. You're one man. Go to them and weaken them from within. So Nu'aym bin Mas'ud goes back. Nu'aym bin Mas'ud had some good networking abilities. So he went to Banu Qurayza. He was a former friend. He was a friend of Banu Qurayza, a friend of Hawazin, a friend of Quraysh. He knew everyone. He went to Banu Qurayza and he said, what have you done? You know, Banu Qurayza, when the coalition arrived, out of their foolishness, they sided with the coalition against Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, for the Muslims, this was the most difficult moment on them. And I think we talked about how come it was a difficult situation, because they were the only Jewish tribe who was very close to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because now Banu Qurayza and Banu Qanqa left, and Khaybar is far away. So Banu Qurayza, they sided with Quraysh. Nu'aym goes to them and says, what have you done? These Arabs are gonna, if they find it tough and difficult, they're gonna leave you. They're gonna go back to their homes. And you are the ones who are gonna suffer the consequences of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The consequences of what you have done against Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Quraysh are gonna go back to Mecca. Hawazin are gonna go back to their land. And the tribes of Najd are gonna go back to Najd, and you're gonna stay here alone. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is gonna come to you. What have you done? They said, what do you suggest? He said, listen, to ensure that the people of Quraysh and the Arabs stay, you have to take some hostages from them. And you say, and you make it clear that you're not going to fight unless you give us these hostages. Because these people are going to leave you alone. So they said, that's a very good idea. They liked it. Nu'aym bin Mas'ud goes to Quraysh and to the Arabs. He tells them, how can you trust these Jews? How can you trust these people? They have regretted breaking their agreement with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as a retribution for that, they made a deal with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that they're going to hand him over some of your men. So if the Jews come to ask for any hostages, do not give them any, because they want to hand them over to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a retribution for breaking their promise with him. Abu Sufyan said, we agree. Abu Sufyan, now he is already worried, because of what Noam said. So he sends a letter to the Jews telling them, you attack on Saturday, we're going to attack on Sunday. The Jews said, we're not going to attack unless you send us some men to ensure that you're going to stay until the last moment and you're not going to leave us alone. Abu Sufyan said, this is exactly what Noam ibn Mas'ud said. The Jews have betrayed their agreement with us. Abu Sufyan said, we're not going to send you anyone. The Jews said, this is exactly what Naim ibn Mas'ud said. The Arabs are not serious about it and they're going to walk out. The coalition broke. That was the end of the coalition. One man brought an end to this coalition. One man. Don't waste your resources. If you are just going to be one man in an army and you could do a lot more somewhere else, make sure that you put yourself in the right place. And that would go back, this would go back to what we were saying about, you know, using your skills wisely and what Allah has given you here in the West. Take advantage of what Allah has given you here, because over there you count as one soldier only. So make sure that you take advantage of the ni'am that Allah Azza wa Jalla has given you. It's a business. It's a business with Allah. You want to capitalize on what Allah has given you. You invest your capital. If you don't, you know, you don't get into an investment of $1 million and you only have 100,000. You invest according to the capital you have. This is an investment between you and Allah Azza wa Jalla. So you want to make sure that you optimize it to the limit and make the most profit that you can make, the maximum. So use whatever Allah has given you, optimize it to the maximum, and try to make the best returns. And every one of you has different abilities. Some of you have intellectual abilities, some of you have physical abilities, some of you have business abilities, some have networking abilities. Every one of you, Allah Azza wa Jalla has given them something. Everyone. Everyone has something. And if Allah has given you that ni'mah, He wants you to thank Him for it. And the way you thank Him for it is to pay your dues. You owe it to Allah Azza wa Jalla that you have to use what He has given you to serve Him. And then Allah Azza wa Jalla sent on them another soldier of His, and that was wind. Very violent wind blew. At night, the kuffar of Quraysh, they want to cook, the wind would drop all of their containers. They want some warmth, it would extinguish all of their fires. Rasulullah ﷺ sent Hudhayfa bin Yaman to go and spy on them. So Hudhayfa went to spy on them, and he was sitting around this campfire, and everything is just pouring, and the fire is going off. Abu Sufyan got tired, he said, just let's pack up and leave. And they left. That was the end of the Battle of Al-Khandaq. Allah Azza wa Jal says, and Allah repelled those who disbelieved in their rage, not having obtained any good. And sufficient was Allah for the believers in battle, and Allah is ever powerful, and ever is Allah powerful. And exalted in might. Al-Ahzab 25. Now, number 18, Banu Qurayza, obviously. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he went home. After Quraysh left, Rasulullah went home. This was a very long siege. It took 20 days. The Muslims were very uptight. They had to guard every corner of Medina. Financially, it was tight. So it was a very exhausting 20 days. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went back home. The Sahaba went back home and Rasulullah has taken off his clothes. Jibreel comes and stands at his door. And he says, oh Muhammad, are you laying down your arms? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yes. Jibreel said, oh Muhammad, the angels have not laid down their arms yet. Allah is commanding you to go to the fortresses of Banu Qurayza. And I will go ahead of you and shake it from beneath them. You don't lay down your arms yet. You have to go to the kuffar of Banu Qurayza. So Rasulullah ﷺ told the Sahaba, because of the urgency of it, رسول الله told the صحابة لا يصلي أن أحدكم العصر إلا في بني قريظة. Don't pray عصر except in بني قريظة. So the army left. But the thing is, the time of عصر arrived when they didn't get there yet. And they felt that even if they continue marching, they would miss the time of عصر. So they disputed. Some of them said, let's pray here. Because the time of عصر would go out. The other said, no, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, you pray عصر there, even if it's the time of Maghrib. So some of them left, and some of them stayed behind. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, when they came back, he approved both of them. Some people took the hadith literally, some people took it in a figurative sense. That what Rasulullah meant by praying عصر there is that you speed up. And Rasulullah approved both interpretations. So this shows you that differences in the understanding of hadith are possible and acceptable. Anyway, they reach to the fortress of Banu Qurayza, and Jibreel is shaking it from under them. Not physically, but their hearts are shaking. Their hearts were shaking. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gets there. And after a very short while, Banu Qurayza, they want to surrender, but they have a feeling that the consequences are not going to be that good. So they ask one of their former allies, Abu Lubaba, who was one of Al-Ansar, who used to be their ally before, from Al-Aws. Because Banu Qurayza were the allies of Al-Aws, while Banu Qaynuqa and Banu Nadir were the allies of Al-Khazraj. So Abu Lubaba said, I'm not going to come to you unless I get permission from Rasulullah. He goes to Rasulullah ﷺ, Rasulullah says, told him, I give you permission. Abu Lubaba goes there. They set out their women and children, and they were weeping and crying. So imagine Abu Lubaba going in, and all what he sees in front of him, women and children crying. And they're begging him to do something for them. Spare our lives, do something for us. So it was a very emotional thing. And then they asked Abu Lubaba, if we surrender, what do you think Rasulullah would do? Abu Lubaba didn't speak. He pointed to his throat and he did like this. Which means, you're going to be killed. Abu Lubaba said, by the time I place my hand down, I realize that I have betrayed Allah and His Messenger. I've said something that I wasn't supposed to say. This is private information. But the lesson here to learn is that out of human kindness, you could have some mercy on the kuffar. So a person needs to be careful and not put themselves into situations where they would compromise their religion. You don't want to put yourself in a situation where you would compromise the religion. It was very difficult for him to see women and children crying. And that's when he made this move, which he wasn't supposed to do. He said, when I left, I knew that I'm in a very dangerous situation. So I decided, I told myself, I'm not going to face Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam until Allah has mercy on me. And he goes to the masjid and he tells his wife to tie him to one of the pillars in the masjid. So Rasulullah is waiting for Abu Lubaba to come back. He didn't come back. Rasulullah said, how come he is so late? They said, oh Rasulullah, this is what happened. And he tied himself to a pillar in the masjid. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if he would have came to me, I would have asked Allah to forgive him. But if he has taken this step, I'm not going to release him from that pillar until Allah Azza wa Jal has tawbah on him. So he stays there. For every salah, his wife would come and untie him to make wudu and to pray. And then she would bring him food. And that carried on for 6 days. Until Allah Azza wa Jal revealed the ayah, seeking his tawbah. Back to the issue of the ghazu. So, Banu Qurayza, even though Abu Lubaba told them that most likely your throats will be slit, the fear was just too much. So they surrendered. And they surrendered, and Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم told them, would you be satisfied? This is before the surrender, when they were negotiating the terms. Rasulullah ﷺ said, would you be happy if I give authority over you to one of your allies, Sa'd ibn Mu'adh? They said, we agree. Sa'd ibn Mu'adh was the head of Al-Aws. And the Aws were the allies of Banu Qurayza. So Sa'd ibn Mu'adh was their ally. They were very happy. They said, we agree. Sa'd ibn Mu'adh was different than Abdullah ibn Ubay. Abdullah ibn Ubay was bargaining for his people, Banu Qaynuqa, until he set them free. Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, in the Battle of Al-Khandaq, Sa'd ibn Mu'adh was described as being a tall and big, he was a large man. Aisha said, I ventured out of my house to see what was happening. So I saw Sa'd ibn Mu'adh walking in armory that wasn't covering his limbs. So his shoulders, his arms, his feet, his legs were exposed. So Aisha said, I was very worried that he might be hurt. Because he was a very large man, the armory didn't cover his body. And then Aisha said, that I went into some of the places where the Muslim soldiers were. So Umar saw me and said, إِنَّكِ لَجَرِيَةٌ, what are you doing here? And Aisha said, he kept on yelling at me until I felt I wanted the earth to swallow me. He said, what are you doing over here? Anyway, Sa'd was hit by an arrow either in his arm or shoulder. And it was quite a severe injury. So he made a dua. He said, oh Allah, if there is any fighting left with Quraysh, then allow me to live.